I want to talk this morning on the legacy of love. The legacy of love. You know, the word legacy, I want to just explain for you. I just went to my dictionary just to get some help here with putting it properly. But that a legacy refers to something that is transmitted or received from an ancestor or a predecessor. And so the Lord, in today's gospel, announces that he is leaving us a legacy of love, a legacy of glory, a legacy of new life. And it is for you and for me to lay hold of that legacy and live out of it. Now, when I say lay hold, what I mean is that what the Lord did on the cross, dying and then rising from the dead, is not just some distant historical event. It is an event that is always available to us. He has provided, if you will, a legacy, a fund for us to draw from and to just every day go to and receive. Now, in speaking of a legacy, I think most of us, we get money pretty easily. We understand money. Let's put it in money terms for a minute, all right? And that would simply be this, that regarding a legacy, imagine that you had a rich relative who died and left you $100 million. All right, church, we understand money, don't we? Now, what that means for you is that you can start living differently, amen? First of all, you're going to pay off a few of those bills, amen? But secondly, you can go on now and live differently if you choose. It is possible you could put it under the bed and forget all about it. I don't think you would, but it is possible that you could put it under the bed and forget all about it and just go on living like you have been, but you see, understand that when someone leaves you a legacy, you're going to go to that and you're going to draw from it and you're going to live differently. Well, that is what the Lord is teaching in this gospel today, that he has left us a legacy of love, a pool of grace, a pool of glory wherein we can now live differently. We can go to it and draw from it, and it will, if we make use of it, it will change our life. So this is what I want to speak on then today, the legacy of love. Now, it's an unusual gospel because here we are in the fifth week of Easter, and we're basking in Easter glory, and all of a sudden, we're taken and put back in time to the Last Supper, and Judas has just gone out to betray the Lord. And then the Lord says something very unusual. He doesn't say, now is the Son of Man about to be betrayed. He doesn't say, now is the Son of Man about to get hurt. He says this, now is the Son of Man glorified. Glorified. So, this gospel reminds us that what the Lord did in bringing us this new life, this legacy, began at the Last Supper, pointed to his cross and to his resurrection, and it comes to us to this very day. It is now, if you will, a pool, a legacy from which we can draw. It is always a present to us. So let's look at this legacy in three basic parts. The first thing I want you to see is the provision of the passion, the provision. See, how does the Lord make this legacy available to us? And it begins with his passion, death, and resurrection. Now, the text begins. When Judas left them, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. And God is glorified in him. And God will also glorify him in himself. And God will glorify him at once. Now, there's a couple of things to say about the text. This text says, now is the Son of Man glorified. Wait a minute, Father. Judas has just gone out. He hasn't made it to the cross yet, Jesus. He hasn't been raised yet. Jesus says, no, now. This the verb tense here expresses something that is always present from this point forward. Now has begun, says the Lord, a process whereby I am glorified and my glory is now made available to all my people. From now and henceforth going into the future. Now the word provision, I've just titled this section The Provision of the Passion. Provision means to look ahead, vision to see. Pro meaning for or into the future. So to provide or to lay up provisions means that the Lord looked to you and me in this church today from the table at the Last Supper. And he saw us. And he has laid up provision. He has provided. He saw ahead of time what you and I would need. And he has laid up a store of glory, a store of grace, a store of provision for us, a legacy from which we can go to the bank and withdraw as we need so that our lives will be changed. Now, provision for what? Church, I want you to know something. All of us have this ongoing assignment from the Lord, and that is to go to the foot of the cross and to ask and answer this question. What happened when the Son of God died for me and rose gloriously? What happened? I'm not asking for the catechism answer. That's an important answer. Father, he went to the cross and he died, but 3 days later he rose. That's what happened. Well, okay, that's a good catechism answer. You get an A. Good for you. I'm asking at a more experiential level. How is your life different because of what he did? What happened to me and for me when the Son of God died and rose? How is my life different? Church, I want to announce this to you. I am speaking to you of the power of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ to put sin to death, to put negativity to death, to put all despair to death, and to bring alive a completely new life, to see sins put to death in our life and to see graces come alive, to see fear recede and be replaced by confidence, to see sin put to death and replaced by holiness, to see all kinds of greed replaced by generosity, lust replaced by chastity, to receive and to experience that our life is and can be changed because the Lord, when he died, unleashed a pool of grace, of love, of mercy, and of glory. And all you and I got to do is go and lay hold of it. And when I say lay hold of it, I'm trying to emphasize to you, I'm not talking about some distant historical event, but a glory, a grace, an event that is present to you and me right now. Do you see the vision? What has happened? We come and we sing on Sundays how Christ has died and risen and rose from the dead, and we say the creed and we announce that Jesus is alive. But what does that mean? Are we just talking historical events? Church, these are not slogans. These are realities out of which we can and must begin to live. It's like having that $100 million in the bank. Now you can start living differently. You don't have to go on living the way you have or I have. The Lord has made available for us a completely new life. Now how does that reach us? And the answer is baptism. Listen to what St. Paul says. Paul says, and this is, I'm quoting from Romans 6. We know. Now, by the way, when Paul says we know, he means we know. In other words, and by the way, the Greek word here is gnosko, not not oida, which means to simply intellectually know something, but the Greek word here, gnosko, refers to a kind of a knowing that is a knowing from experience. It's not just knowing because I read it in a book or intellectually knowing something, but knowing that I know that I know because I've experienced it in my life. And so Paul says, we know. We have experienced that our old self was crucified with him. Have you? Do you know that? Have you experienced that? How have you experienced that? What sins have you seen put to death in your life? Church, I've seen a lot of sins put to death in my life. Church, there are some things I used to do that I don't do anymore. In fact, I don't even want to do them anymore. I say to you that what Paul wrote back in the first century, I also know by experience. Namely this, that my old self has been crucified with him. That old Charles Pope, the old Adam, has been put to death. And is assuming room temperature. Now, goes on, it says, we know that our old self was crucified. Do you? And that's the question. So that the sinful self might be destroyed and that we might no longer be enslaved to sin. No longer enslaved to sin. Sin is not to have any hold over you. Do not be satisfied with anything less than complete liberation from sin. Stop all this compromising of the gospel, saying, well, after all, I'm only human. Yes, you are, but guess what? You're also sharing in the divine nature now. And the Lord has left you a legacy that you can and will see sins being put to death in your life. I don't mean that it happens in an instant, but I'm telling you, after I've been serious in my spiritual walk for about 30 of my 51 years, and I want you to know, it makes a difference. I am seeing sins put to death. I'm seeing my life changed by the power of the cross of Jesus Christ to put sin to death. Are you praying with me, church? Now, again, Paul says, we know. We know. And when he says we know, he means we know. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the sinful self might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. We were buried together with Christ in baptism so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, we too might live a new and a more glorious life. See, the image of baptism. Now, have in mind for a moment immersion baptism, not just the pouring of water baptism, but the immersion baptism. In a full immersion baptism, the person goes under the water and disappears for a minute. And they come back up and are visible, but they're not the same. The old self dies in those waters and is buried with Christ, goes out of sight. When we bury a body, we no longer see that body. So in baptism, we go under the water, disappear in a kind of a burial, and then rise to a new life, a brand new life. The old Charles buried in the waters of baptism, the new Charles coming alive, new, transformed, now having a legacy, now having this new glory that is bestowed. Church, I say to you, the Lord has provided. The Lord has provided this new life, and it is for you and I to lay hold of it and live out of it. Do not go on living your old life. Do not be satisfied with a life of sin, a life of rebellion, a life of confusion. Understand this. The Lord has left you a legacy. He has left you $100 million worth of grace. Do not go on living with all those bills piled up. Do not go on living in a rundown place. Go on living now. Move into this grace and this glory with the Lord. Are you praying with me? So you see, the Lord has laid out a legacy for us. It all starts at the cross and the resurrection. And again, I announce to you the power of the cross and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ to give you an entirely new life. And I am not simply speaking slogans to you this morning. I am speaking to you as a first-hand witness that in my life, the power of the cross to put negativity, fear, anxiety, bitterness, unforgiveness, unchastity, unkindness, a lack of love, to put those things to death and to bring alive in me greater chastity, love for the poor, generosity, better priorities, a whole new mind, a whole new heart. Church, I stand before you. I am not what I want to be, but I am not what I used to be. I say to you, a change has come over me. Are you praying with me, church? It's kind of quiet in here today. Is there another witness in this house that you've made a journey with the Lord and is making a difference in your life? And so the Lord, just as Judas goes out, simply says this, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." Now I am providing this glory for myself. The Father's giving it to me, and I am giving it to you now. Not 2,000 years ago, not someday in heaven when you die. Now. You got that word? Someone say now. Now. Starts now. So we see, first of all, the provision of his passion. Secondly, we want to just take a moment and just note the power of his passion and the produce of it. He simply says this, "I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. So now you should love one another." Now, pay attention, church. Be very careful with this. Do not slide back out of the gospel. Stay with me in the gospel. The Lord says, "I give you a new commandment. Love one another." Church, that's not a new commandment. Here's the new commandment. "As I have loved you." The gospel is not, you, out of your own flesh power, better start loving people more. "I'm waiting," says the Lord. Come on, snap to, start loving people more. Start being more holy, more rules, more tasks. Do more, love more, you, out of your own flesh power. That is not the gospel. But most people think that's what the Lord is saying. And that's what they hear the church saying. And anytime I stand in a pulpit and I say, you know, we got to stop fornicating. We got to stop being so greedy. We got to stop. I'm not telling you moralisms. I am saying to you that the Lord Jesus Christ can change your heart so that you want to live chastely. You want to be generous to the poor. You want to praise God. The Lord can do that for you. That's the gospel. It is his work for you and me to keep his commandments and to love our neighbor. Notice, let's go through it again. "I give you a new commandment." Pay attention, a new commandment. Love one another. That is not new. All through the Old Testament, we are told to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our strength, and our neighbor as ourself. That is not a new commandment, to love one another. Here's the new commandment: "As I have loved you." That is to say, church, you let me love you, says the Lord. You let me give you this legacy of love, this $100 million worth of love. You let me embrace you and love you, and you begin to experience that love, and you begin to lay hold of it and start to feel it course through you. You are now equipped to love, not out of your own human love, but out of the love that I put in your heart. You will love as I have loved you. A couple of other texts that speak of this. First letter of John in the 4th chapter simply says this, "We love because he first loved us." That is to say, I am equipped, empowered, and enabled to love because first I've experienced his love. I have had him put his love in my heart. And now my heart is changed. My heart is equipped, empowered, and enabled to love. Brothers and sisters, that's the gospel. It's not you out of your power do this. It's let the Lord love you. Receive this love. And having received with that love, you will be able, you will want to love others. You can't give what you don't have. And so the Lord says, first receive, and then you will love others. Now listen, church, again, I want to be a witness, and I hope there's some other witnesses. I have seen my heart at least triple in size since I met the Lord. and he continues to enlarge my heart so that I am now able to love people in my family I didn't ever think I could love. I'm able to get along and to love others, to be more kind and compassionate with some sometimes very troublesome people. Church, I'm not saying I never get angry. I'm just going to say that my heart is more equipped, empowered, and enabled to love others than ever before because of Jesus Christ. I am not boasting. I am boasting in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. If I must boast, let me boast in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ, who is giving me a new heart, a more spacious heart, a more capacious heart that is able to love. Church, I want to say this to you, and I promise you this in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will let him go to work in your heart and let him leave you this legacy, if you will draw on it, I promise you, you will be able to love your enemy. You'll even be able to love your spouse. You'll be able to love your troublesome children. Some of the most difficult and troublesome people in your life, you will begin to have a compassion, an understanding, a kindness, a patience, a love. Now, I am not talking to you about some cheesy kind of sentimental love. I'm talking to you about a vigorous Christ-like love. A love that does not gainsay the truth. A love that speaks the truth and says it in love. Not because it wants to win an argument or overpower somebody. See, I outquoted the Bible on you. I won the argument. See, you're wrong and I'm right. That is not love. That's just an argument that you won. But real love speaks the truth, speaks it with patience, is willing to stay in the conversation, does not easily give up, but shows the other love and respect and encouragement. Just as Jesus did. Jesus never, ever compromised the truth. He never once gave into some simple sentimental love that compromised the truth. He spoke it, but he spoke it in love, and he died for it. They nailed us. We nailed him to the tree. He died for that truth. He died for you and for me. And he stays in the conversation with us, even when we're rebellious and shake our fist. He stays, and so for us, love. I promise you this in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has left you and me a legacy of love. I promise it to you, that out of that legacy, out of that store of grace, of holiness, of mercy, of kindness, of chastity, of patience, you can draw, and your life will be changed. So we've seen today this legacy of love. That the Lord goes to his cross in this gospel today, says, now I'm going to be glorified. And now this glory is available to you. Lay hold of it, church. Live out of it. And begin to see your life changed and transformed. The Lord promises this to you and to me. A completely new life, a holy life, a loving life, a life that is kind and patient, that is rooted in the truth, speaks that truth in love, a life that is willing to suffer for others. I tell you, a brand new life is available to you. This is the legacy of love. I'm mindful of an old song, and I quote it a lot. But I just want to say, because I'm a witness and I pray you are too, and simply this, that when nothing else could help and nothing else could, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Notice that it lifted me. I'm not where I was before. Are you praying with me? The Lord has left me a legacy of love. Love lifted me higher than I've ever been before. And it continues to lift me higher and higher. Church, I have been with you 20 years now, starting July 1st. I walked in this door 20 years ago, July 1st. I was gone for a little while, but I've been here most of those 20 years. And you know, I'm not what I want to be, but I am not what I used to be. I am not the man I was when I walked in these doors 20 years ago. The Lord has done important work in my life through His sacraments, through His word, and through every one of you. I thank you for your love, for your patience, for your encouragement. Say, help him, Lord. And he did. I thank you for what you've done for me, and I want you to know I'm going to keep walking with the Lord and walking with you, and wait till I've been here 30 years, and wait till I've been here 40 years, and church is just going to keep getting better all the time, because love has a way of lifting me and lifting you. And so I promise you in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have received a legacy of love. More than $100 million worth of grace, of glory, of holiness. Church, just go to the foot of the cross, lay hold of that, withdraw from that fund, and watch your life be changed. I am a witness, and I pray that some of you are witnesses too, that when nothing else could help, and nothing else could, love lifted me. It didn't just help me. It lifted me higher than I've ever been lifted before. Amen.